Oh my gosh, there's an avocado shortage. It's an avocado shortage.
No!
Panic, everyone. Podcasters, please keep calm. Carry on. I know there's going to be a shortage of tequila and avocados, and we'll get into that here in just a second. It shows you how not elitist the left and the media really is. Also, the cutting of funding for the Special Olympics by the New York Assembly. You'll never guess what they did with the money on that one. Alyssa Milano decides that the Bible is a great place to, talk about abortion. Okay, you see if you can make sense of that. Also, AOC. She says the easiest way to get rid of global warming, of course, cow farts. But she's not talking about, getting rid of the cows. We just need to change, quote, the cow grain to something that causes less farting for our cows.
I honestly think if you just listen to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on today's program, you can claim to have a doctorate from any university in America.
Really? Because I smart feel if you listen to enough of her, your IQ continues to drop. But we'll find out on today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Yes. So you got the duct tape? You got it around your head? Okay, good. Because I'm just going to give it a couple of quick highlights. Alyssa Milano says she loves God and then quotes the Bible to push abortion.
What part of the Bible pushes abortion?
If I had told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? What the hell is it? What?
Oh, that's the abort the kid part of the Bible right there.
That's the kill your kid in the womb part.
Abort away.
I knew you in the womb.
If you read the New International Version, it says abort away.
Yeah, it says shout your abortion. I don't know how that works, but it's not going over well for Alyssa, and we'll get into that here in just a second. Also, today they are set to unveil in the Senate a constitutional amendment to abolish the Electoral College and allow for the election of presidents by popular vote. You know who's for this? People who keep losing.
What if we change the rules?
Yeah.
Then we can win.
We can't win. We got to change the rules. Here's the thing. The Electoral College is so important and no one is defending it. Here's why the Electoral College is really, really important. Not to make sure that Republicans win, so that you do not have one party, because that's what it will be in the end. It will be one party, and the one party will only have to care about the big cities. They will only care about the population centers. They will not care about the farmers. They will not care about Iowa, Nebraska, Idaho. They will not care about any of these states where the population is low. They won't care really about Rhode Island.
And you can tell there's a deep concern by Democrats about that Russian hacking thing. Mm-hmm. Because if you had a national popular vote, they would only need to find one weak place to be able to run up the tally and be able to manufacture election results. In fact, one of the reasons why they say that the Russians were not successful is they didn't understand all the arcane local laws. Mm-hmm. For each. They didn't know how to break in. It wasn't all the same systems.
Let's just say there was a place like, let's pick a place that is so far away from corruption when it comes to voting, it would be ridiculous. Chicago.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What would happen, Stu, if the Electoral College were abandoned and Chicago, I know this is a stretch, was a place where you could just manufacture fake votes?
It would be, like Chicago elections, except across the nation. Yeah. Is that what you want?
Because all it would happen was if you got more votes in Chicago, let's say they did it to Chicago, Detroit, Los Angeles. Well, if you don't have the Electoral College, it doesn't matter. Those three towns, if they just inflated the numbers from those three towns, mm-hmm. you push over the election. It's popular vote. You win.
The Electoral College is insurance against election fraud. I mean, it's only one of the things it does really well, but it does that really well. Mm-hmm. I mean, a foreign power to try to penetrate the Electoral College, they'd have to know which states they had to push in. They'd have to find weak points in each one of the states or areas. They'd have to, I mean, it's impossible to do because of the Electoral College.
So everything that is in the Constitution now that everybody is hating, it takes so long. That was designed that way. And it was designed that way to stop corruption. It was designed this way to stop people from having this emotional response and become New Zealand. By the way, have you heard New Zealand? You know that they took away all the guns, right?
Well, yeah, they banned semi-automatic rifles.
And told everybody to turn mm-hmm. them in. Mm-hmm. You know how many turned in? How many were turned in?
Oh, I mean, I would assume all of them. I mean, the government said it.
Well, I know, but that's tens of thousands of guns.
Mm-hmm. I mean, more than that, right? I mean, they have over a million guns in the country. I don't know how many they needed turned in, but yeah,
well, they got most of them. They got 34.
34,000? I mean, that's not a
gun. No, they got 34.
100? I mean, that's not
enough.
They got
34. 34. 34. Three guns. And a four.
Can you imagine this happening in the United States? I mean, we talk about these laws. Can you imagine if they actually passed a gun confiscation in this country?
Nobody would be turning them in. You would have out of four, what is it, 400 million, 390 million guns, I bet you would have, oh, maybe, let's be generous, 250,000 guns turned in. Let's be generous. I mean, 34. And this is what all of these crazy laws, these arcane laws in the Constitution, this is why they're there. Because what happens? People say, oh my gosh, we've got to react. We've got to do something. The politicians do. And the people with an agenda. We've got to do something. And so they do it. They do it quickly. They do it on emotion. And what happens? It's not where the people are. The people were supposed to turn in all their guns. 34 came in New Zealand.
I mean, was that just first day, I assume? But still.
No, I think that was the first week. It was 34. It was 34.
That's amazing.
Massive failure.
Well, I mean, this is what these things happen. I mean, this bump stock thing that just has gone through. They're talking about the United States. We're going to have to supposedly destroy $100 million worth of items that have been purchased legally. Now are illegal, so we have to destroy $100 million worth of stuff that people spent their money on. I mean, just that. Forget even the gun, the Second Amendment concerns
stupid.
There. Like,
this is so stupid.
How do we live in a country where that can just be done?
I mean, it's absolutely madness what's going on. So the Electoral College, what the Electoral College also does, besides, confuse our foreign enemies on how to hack into election, confuse our enemies inside that want to steal elections, the Electoral College also does something else. It forces people to listen to the states with smaller populations. You're supposed to listen to them because this is the entire thing. The Constitution was put together when we had 13 different countries. These colonies looked at themselves as totally free and independent. It was like France and England, and we said, okay, how do we get together? Well, we had to do some things that if the EU would have done, it probably would have worked. But we said at the beginning, it was very different than it is now. Look, we are all separate and independent. And the big states, especially the slave states that had these gigantic populations, they said, yeah, we want to vote for, we want popular vote. Well, the little state said, wait a minute, we won't have a voice at the table. We can't have, and there won't be anybody who's speaking up for us. Don't worry, we're going to take care of a couple of things. First, what we're going to do is we're going to give you the House, which represents the people. And so you'll have enough people, you'll have the equal number for your population. There's your popular vote. It's in the House. But then we want to make sure that every state is represented. And the states are not, are all treated equal. So the House may say, hey, I want to do this. And New York might be the leading arbiter of this, and they have the most people in Congress, so they can get that thing passed. But then it's got to go to the other chamber. It's got to go to the Senate. And the senators were directly elected not by the people, but by the state governor and their legislator. So their legislators came in and said, we want this guy to represent us. So now you have the people represented. Then you have the power of the local state represented. So you have a balance there. Then you have the president. But how do we pick the president? Because the president could, in the end, just side with the House. And no qualm about it, no problem with it, because he doesn't even have to go to Delaware. He didn't have to go to Rhode Island, because they meant nothing. As long as he was in New York and Virginia, he'd be fine. So they said, okay, to balance this out, we're going to have an electoral college that will be the actual vote, that every single state is going to matter. If you get rid of the Electoral College, if you feel like a flyover state now, the only time you do matter is when they have to, when they're forced to put their plane down in the center of the country, and they're forced to go to the coffee shops and the Waffle Houses and everywhere else to talk to you. The minute you get rid of the Electoral College, you don't matter. Only the cities matter. Only the states with the biggest populations matter. You will not see them in your rural town. They will not care about you, because you don't have the power. So every little state, every town that isn't a metropolis, you no longer count.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hi, it's Glenn. If you're a subscriber to the podcast, can you do us a favor and rate us on iTunes? If you're not a subscriber, become one today and listen on your own time. You can subscribe on iTunes. Thanks. Pat Gray joins us. He's just fresh off his taping. Live podcast happens. His taping happens every day between 7 and...
7 and 9 Eastern.
7 and 9 Eastern. So you don't want to miss that. The Pat Gray radio roundup. You can find that. Pat Gray Unleashed, wherever you find podcasts, or you can listen to them on the Blaze Radio Network as they tape it live every day. Pat just said something incredible to me, that he just saw a rated R movie last night.
And yeah,
it was unplanned.
Yeah, I did. Wow, was it offensive? Oh man, all of the people talking about life and whether babies should live or not, just was, well, wow, was, you don't want anybody seeing that.
To be fair, there were those points where they manipulated those clumps of cells.
Right.
And that was a
to
little...
make it look like they were babies.
Babies, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if those were Volkswagen parts.
So you know, Pat really does not see rated R movies.
No.
When we first met each other...
It was the first rated R movie I've seen since Silence of the Lambs.
You saw Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
It seems like an odd
somehow,
choice to just dip your feet into the rated R pool.
Doesn't
there.
It?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize, you know, how sincere Pat was on rated R, and I didn't realize how far away I was from, you know, shocking.
Okay.
When I saw Silence of the Lambs, I came back and I'm like, Pat, you got to see it. He's like, I don't see stuff like that. And I was like, no, this is
There's
great.
Nothing wrong with this.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's really, really great. And he was like, no, I don't. And I'm like, there's not. It's like, you see this stuff on TV. I look over like 20 minutes into this movie and Pat is just white. And he's like, I don't think I've seen any of this on TV before. So he hasn't trusted me on a rated R movie, and he doesn't go to see any of them. But
this is not a rated R movie.
No, it's not.
The thing you see is, you know, there's some gross material, because abortions are involved, and you see things go through tubes. But man, to deny the experience, I think, is a mistake. It's a powerful movie. It's a well acted movie. This is from the people that did God's Not Dead, which I didn't like.
No, come on.
This is
no, come on.
Fantastic.
You didn't like it?
I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
I did not like God's Not Dead.
Go ahead.
I hated it.
Yes, okay. Thank you. Yeah. I walked out of it, quite honestly. And yeah. The producers are friends and everything else, but I walked out of it. I thought it was horrible because it was so preachy and everybody who was a villain
over
was
the
like
top.
A super villain and everybody who was good was, you know, Mother Teresa. And I just hated it.
I think they must have learned a lesson from that because
they did.
Unplanned is not that way at all. The only one that might be a slight over-the-top exaggeration, I don't know this, but the you know, the initial Planned Parenthood director seems a little...
And I've asked Abby about that, and she has said, Glenn, that is absolutely word for word.
All the things she
all
said.
All the things that the director says. Yeah. I mean, she's like, that, I swear to you, we did not hype that. That is who they are and what she said to me.
Man, this will really... I mean, it'll rock your world. About Planned Parenthood, and it'll remind Christians, I think, how important this fight is, because we gave up this fight for so long, and now that we've joined the fight again, it seems like we've got momentum. This movie could add to that momentum. It's that
if
good.
If you get people to go to it, you've got to get your kids to go to it. You've got to get this will raise up a whole new generation that will see things clearly, because that scene that. 20 seconds
of where she's turned.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So impactful.
I mean,
and what the doctor says,
and that's a quote,
is outrageous.
And it's a quote. It's phenomenal. Let me ask you one thing, because I was thinking about this last week. If I was listening to my show and you heard us talking about Unplanned, it would be one of those movies that I would go, I should go see that. And then my wife would say, do you want to go see a movie or something? What about that movie Unplanned? And I would go, I don't want to go see that.
Yeah.
Because it seems like a dirge. It seems like a movie you're supposed to go see. Okay. Did you feel that way?
Not at all.
Did you feel that way kind of going in?
A little bit. Yeah.
And leaving, how did you feel?
Uplifted.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's weird.
You're.
But I also felt kind of entertained. I mean, It's also...
It's a good movie.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
An amazing story, too. I mean, some of the reviews have been negative, which they're always negative on,
of course they are.
On any movie that has a message like this, obviously. But they're bashing it for ridiculous things, on the message. But it's like, you look at this movie, and it's like, at the very least, you have to acknowledge it's an incredible story. Even if you don't care about abortion at all, the fact that...
It's incredible.
A woman who... became Planned Parenthood's National Employee of the Year.
Yeah.
Is currently telling you how bad abortion is. The woman who had two abortions, a woman who was, was the director of a clinic that performed thousands and thousands of them.
Was the best performing in the country. I mean, I don't know if you heard the podcast, but she talked to me about
some of it,
being the best at talking people into abortions. They teach you at Planned Parenthood, and if people could just get their arms around, this is not compassion. This is business. This is all business. And when she said, I would talk people into abortions because they taught us how to do that. And it sounded like almost like a used car salesman. And she said, I was the best at it. Whenever we would have a tough patient coming in that really didn't want to have an abortion, but wasn't sure, we made no money on prenatal care or anything like that. The only way we can make money is if we are aborting the child. And so she said, I would be called in. Oh, I got a tough patient here. They don't want to necessarily have an abortion. She said, I would go in. And she said, this is how I sold it. She said, look, it's you're in a tough situation. And I know you're fighting right now, but you believe, if it was a religious person, she would say, you believe in a just God, right? Yes. And you're worried that God's going to condemn you. Yes. What kind of God that you know in reading the scriptures is a God that would not understand his precious daughter and be able to forgive and understand where you're at? He knows right where you're at right now. And she said, I would break down the barrier. And then she said, I would say, so look, here's what I can do for you. this ultrasound has just cost like $500. She said, if you leave today without booking the abortion, I have to charge you for the ultrasound. But if you book the abortion today, then I will roll that into the price of the abortion so you won't have that extra payment.
Just like a car salesman.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Throw in the cup holders, I'll book the abortion.
Right. Mm-hmm. And she said she would always look at them and she'd say, so is there any reason why we shouldn't book this today?
I mean that...
Wow. Well, yeah, let's see. You're murdering my baby.
Yeah.
And I want to think about this a little
bit
more.
So you're in a vulnerable situation. That? Imagine if a car dealer was doing that with vulnerable women at the time. Any bank, you want to talk about predatory loans. Anybody that was doing a transaction when you are that vulnerable.
Yeah.
And you're saying, well, I don't know. Well, you know what? I could make this happen and this happen, but you have to do it right now.
Well, and as Abby said, they lie to you. They lie to these women. They lie to the girls. You know, some of them are 12, 13, 14, 15 years old.
She
they don't
the
know
any
better.
She did was 11.
11?
11.
With or without parental permission?
I believe without.
And that person is now made a movie for the pro that you know supports the pro-life cause. Yeah.
And they said she's the only one. In the movie, they say she's the only defector they've ever had.
In that role.
Which is amazing.
In that role.
Yeah.
And they thought, you know, what was weird is when you watch this movie and they first bring her into the POC, products of conception is what that really stands for, but they used to jokingly call it
pieces of children, which is what it is.
Right. And their security code was baby. That's what their security code was. You can remember the number. Just remember, it's just baby. I mean, they know exactly what they're doing. So pieces of children, they would joke. And they brought her in. And I asked her, I said, why weren't you stunned by little feet and little heads and little arms? And because you have to count everything after an abortion. You have to make sure every piece is there.
Because if it's not there, it's inside the woman's stomach.
Right. And so it caused all kinds of problems. So they have to put them together. They have to reassemble the baby. And she said, I don't know why that didn't bother me. She said, I understood that it was a baby, and so I didn't, I don't know why, she said, but it was always my choice. And she said, but once I saw the ultrasound and I saw that baby fighting, she said, it became human to me. She said, because that was the natural instinct. She said, that's what I would do. Mm-hmm. That's what all of us would do. And here's this lump of nothing. If it didn't fight that, it would have just been a lump, but because it sensed trouble and pushed away from it, she said, all of a sudden it became very human. It became alive to me, and I knew exactly what it was.
Especially when they do it all the time.
The name of the movie is Unplanned, and if you haven't taken your kids to see it, please do take your kids
to see it. What age appropriate? What age?
I think it depends on, like,
could
for
be
instance,
pretty disturbing.
PG-13
really
is probably
kids.
The right rating for that.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a G
so
film. I will
No, not at all.
And I would say even PG-13, it depends. Like, I think Rafe could have seen that when he was 11-ish, maybe 12.
Cheyenne's too sensitive.
Cheyenne is 13, about to become 14, or no, she's 12, about to become 13, and I still wonder. I think that would bother her. I mean, a lot, deeply.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
deeply.
But 13 is the. I mean, it certainly shouldn't be R. And so there's nothing in between those two.
No,
I mean,
no,
PG-13 is the. You know, you still have to make. It's again, it's parental guidance. You know, above 13.
You right? have like, to go. I just got a letter from a guy last night who said, "I took my daughter. She was 18." And he said, you know, we're Catholic. We raised them to believe, you know, that this is life. And he said, my daughter just doesn't believe that that's a viable choice for people to make. He said she didn't want to go. The last minute said, yeah, you know what? I'm going to come with you. And he said, while it hasn't changed her mind yet, he said it has completely changed the conversation. And he said, this has opened a door. And I think that's what will happen for anybody who is dead set and has made their mind. they're going to have to start to cling to things that they know are not true. They're going to have to start justifying in their mind because they're forced to see it for 20 seconds.
Or you just have to believe everything in the movie is a lie. Right? If you're already set that this is a woman's right to choose and it's a reproductive choice, blah, 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 you just have to believe that everything they say about Planned Parenthood and how they operate is a lie.
Which, again, you're talking about doctors and nurses and directors. All these people are in the movie.
Right.
They didn't ask them, get a report, and then recreate it. The people who are starring in some of these roles are the actual people from the clinics.
Yeah, in that scene, the doctor that performed that is a doctor that's performed tens of thousands of abortions.
Has he turned?
He turned.
Oh, wow. And that doctor that's in the movie?
That doctor that did that. And the nurse that's in there with her also performed tens of thousands of abortions with Planned Parenthood and also turned and left.
So you know the medical details of that are accurate.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, like they were there.
Really something.
They did
yeah.
this.
I was told that when the doctor walked in before they shot, he looked at the tray of instruments and he rearranged them exactly the way they would be if you were doing an abortion. He was like, I just want this scene to be right. I want this to be accurate. I don't want anybody to be able to say, oh, they wouldn't use that or they didn't do this. He said, he arranged all of the instruments exactly the way they're laid out for Planned Parenthood doctors.
Wow.
And he knows because he was one for a very long time.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and if you like what you hear on the program, you should check out Pat Gray Unleashed. His podcast is available wherever you download your favorite podcast. You may have to excuse me for a few minutes during this hour, and Stu will just kind of sit in. I have to come and go for a neurologist conference call. My daughter has been having testing for about a year, and so we get some of the results back, so I'm going to be kind of in and out a little bit this hour. I want to talk to you about AOC. Now, I'm going to play this audio, and farmers, don't laugh this off, okay? She knows what she's talking about. Listen.
We need to innovate on our technology. You know, right. Obviously, like, I had a staffer, you know, release a document that talked about cow flatulence, but...
Which is an issue, I just want to say.
Which is an issue. But
it sounds ridiculous, but it literally is an issue.
But it actually is an issue when it comes to contributing to methane. Right. But that doesn't mean you end cows. It means that we need... what it means is that we need to innovate and change our cow grain. You know, they feed in these troughs.
We need to
really take a look at regenerative agriculture. Like, these are our solutions.
Now, I'm enjoying this so much. I know nothing, okay? I do have cattle. I do raise cattle. But when I say I raise cattle, no, I don't. I show up for like 4 weeks out of the year where we have this farm and this ranch. Other people are raising the cattle. I'm not. I just show up and I'm like, yep, there's my herd of cattle. We call them herds, right? There's my herd of cattle. I know nothing.
You mostly raise cattle from a Big Mac wrapper.
Exactly right, okay? All right, I am all hat, no cattle, if that's the way you would say it in Texas. Now, here's the thing. Even I know that we're not feeding the cattle cow grains. We're not giving them cow grains. Yes, some cows will be raised on corn.
So you're saying corn are the cow grains?
Cow grain. Other than that, you're pretty much alfalfa. If you were somebody that is looking for an all natural cow, a grass fed.
I've heard that terminology before in Whole Foods.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Everybody wants, you want a grass-fed cow. Well, cow, what are they doing? They're eating grass. They're going out and they're eating grass. Alfalfa, they love. It's like catnip. There's no grains. You're not sitting in a trough eating out of a grain.
Why do they have them then? Why do they have the troughs then? Why? You have no answer for that. You have no answer. The cow grains are the things that go into the troughs. It's obvious.
Now, I'm sure that these big farms are maybe, you know, throwing the cow grains into these big troughs. But I don't think I'm going to taking anything she says is like taking anything I'm saying as gospel.
Well, my issue is they shouldn't be making the grains from cows if they're feeding them to cows, right? Like, no, that's it's cannibalism, basically. If you're going to feed cows cow grains, don't make them out of cows.
Right.
She has a good point there. But other than that,
right,
she seems to be a tad misled. Right.
So we're feeding cows cows?
Well, cow grains, right? I'm assuming they're made of cows. I don't know all the facts. I'm not a farmer.
I just love this.
I mean, the other part of this is, first of all, they don't, generally speaking, eat that way. There's no such thing as cow grains. Another issue is also flatulence from cows is not really an issue. It's belching. Is really the issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming out the other side.
Mm-hmm.
That's the methane problem. So she doesn't understand that.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the part where the audience cracks up because she's like, I mean, the answer to that is not to end cows. That's not a punchline. That is from her document. She said the document they released, they're acting now as if it was mistakenly released as a draft document.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you ever got, Glenn, an important document to you handed from your staff that was a draft and not finished and looked like that, would any of those people have jobs the next day?
No,
of course not.
No.
It was an absolute disaster.
Mm-hmm.
Then they released the draft document, which wasn't a draft document.
No,
because if they had a draft document, what would they be doing today? They would have had the final one out, right? Like, where was the final FAQ about this bill? We never got one,
right?
Because it wasn't a draft document at all.
That was it.
So, but the punchline that everyone laughs at, they're laughing at her. It was her document that said, oh, well, we're not going to end cows. That was her. They're mocking her own document. And I don't know that she even realizes it at this point.
No, I don't think so. And by the way, the cow grain, the only cow grain, and farmers, please correct me, the only cow grain that is being fed to them would be corn. Corn-fed beef, but that's everybody wants grass-fed beef. So
she's saying she wants to adjust the cow grains,
right? So are we supposed to have, like, I don't know, antacids or gas X in the cow grain? Are we supposed to look for something else?
It's essentially what she's proposing, right? I mean, if you want to take her seriously,
what is it that you're going to feed a cow that they're going to eat that is good with their digestive system? What are you gonna feed them that they eat? I mean, I don't know about you, but I could drop carrots on the floor all day long. My dog's not gonna eat it.
Mm-hmm.
I have something yummy. My dog's gonna eat it. I have some chocolate on the floor. My dog will want to eat it, and I'll be like, "No, you're gonna die." I mean, what is it that we could feed these cattle that you think will stop the methane? What is it? What is it that you could do? And by the way,
cow. That's why you feed them cow.
I didn't think it was methane. I thought it was CO2 that was the problem.
Well, so methane is an issue. Now, it is more potent of a greenhouse gas than CO2 is. It's in smaller amounts, and it also leaves the atmosphere much quicker. So it is part of the equation when it comes to.
Right. I've read the report and I've heard it a million times, but why is this? Is it because it's just in, there are more cow farts than there are cars and chimneys?
Well, I mean, the UN did say that the meat industry is responsible for more, you know, of the CO2 problem than all the transportation, every transportation sector in every country on Earth combined. Now, there are disagreements with that report, but I mean, they can't disagree with it because they're the UN. I mean, you can go through and pick that report apart pretty well, but they can't because the UN said it, and that is their standard of proof needed to adjust the entire world economy. That's why we were always so fascinated at why it took Al Gore a couple thousand days before he decided to quote-unquote go vegan. Whether that's actually true or not, I have no idea, but he at least claims it now. But it took him thousands of days after that report to actually do it. Why, Al? Because again, as we pointed out yesterday, the actions do not match the words. If they actually believed the world was going to end in 12 years, they would not be. It would not be cow grain time. They would be much more concerned about these things and doing things that were different.
I will tell you that this all goes down to culture. Remember what Barack Obama's wife said right before the election, right before she was taken off of the road? She said, Barack knows we got to change our traditions. We have to change our language. We have to change everything. This is part of it. By getting you to stop eating beef, that is very American. I'm a meat and potatoes guy. That is the West. That is American, to raise and eat cattle. Now, you know, you wanna say it's for different reasons. That's fine. I honestly do not think that this is anything different than just changing all of our traditions. They have disconnected us from history, and now they want to change our traditions. Once you change the traditions, you've got nothing left. You really have nothing left. I mean, most people don't even know why do we have summer vacation for kids? Why do schools have summer vacation? Do you know?
I mean, the amusement parks need to make their money somehow, right?
Right.
I mean,
no, it's because it was the summer months where the kids needed to work the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so once it got into spring and summer, that was the time to plow and to plant and everything else, and the families needed the kids back at home. So everything about us, why do we have daylight savings time?
Right, yeah, it was also the same.
For the farms, yeah. Okay? We don't need it anymore, but it was for the farms. So everything we have and that they are slowly dismantling is also slowly dismantling our story and where we came from. You know, you dismantle the Christmas tree. Okay, well, that takes out everything that we know about Christmas, about Europe, about Germany, St. Nicholas, all of these things, all of these traditions mean something to us. And the more you take them apart, the more empty you are as a culture.
And some of these changes are good. I don't want to go back to a place where I need to farm all summer.
No, no, no.
I'm not saying that.
I'm just saying that everything, they are taking all of our traditions apart. And I'm not talking about daylight savings time I'm just saying
that is the target.
Everything
clearly
is for a reason, okay? Everything is here for a reason. It's because of where we came from. They are slowly erasing absolutely everything that has made us meat and potatoes people. What does that mean? Meat and potatoes people. When I say that to you, that means a plain talking, a farmer, hardworking, a guy who just calls it like it is, a meat and potatoes person. Get rid of cattle. Get rid of the meat and potatoes.
Say it right. End cows and cow grains.
Okay, yeah, well, end the cow. Well, we do want to get rid of them. We just have to change the cow grains into something new, magical grain that doesn't make you toot when you eat it.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Oh, man. And then we have, of course, we have Beto in the news. We have Joe Biden in the news. And we have Brittany on the phone. Hello, Brittany.
You're going to shut the border down now?
What did you say?
Are you going to shut the border down now? Let me ask you this. What about brunch?
What do you mean, what about brunch?
Let me ask you this. What tops toast?
Jam, butter.
You're going to put butter?
Mm-hmm.
With all the cow grains, you're just going to put butter on the toast?
Well, yes, I am.
These personally are the sort of questions I've been working on with my organization, Socialist for Avocados. And I'm a
Socialist for Avocados.
Yes, I'm a campus activist.
Uh-huh.
And I heard a little bit about your show last night about Beto.
Yes, yes, we did an expose on Beto and who he really is and what he really believes, which seems to be nothing.
First of all, I heard you say that, and it's just wrong. People, you in particular, said something about how he's not Hispanic, which
No, he's Irish.
No, well, he's not. This is such a crazy comparison. He's not as Hispanic as a real Hispanic person, but he's much more Hispanic than your average white Irishman.
So wouldn't that be cultural appropriation?
I don't think it's cultural appropriation at all. And then you went into his allegations of him being a drunk driver.
Yes.
Yeah. First of all, he was caught one time drunk driving. Okay.
Right.
One time.
Right.
And that's your, and I heard
well, he
your
tried
spin.
To leave the scene.
I heard your spin on it. I watched the show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this guy was plastered all the time. The fact that he only got caught once just proves he's an excellent driver.
Okay. All right. Well, sure. Maybe he drives slower and more carefully when he's drunk.
And then you kept, I've heard you talking about Joe Biden.
Yeah.
I have firsthand experience with Joe.
Just one hand or two?
You know what? I would be honored to be an unwilling participant in a Biden facial grope or hair inhalation.
You would be.
I would be honored to do that. But I was working at a coffee shop,
mm-hmm.
and Joe Biden used to come in all the time, and you mm-hmm. you make him sound so creepy,
right?
And you make him sound so awful.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't see that at all. This is a man who helped his community. And, you know, a lot of times he was working with students, tons of students from the community.
Right.
And I don't know if they were his daughter's friends, but he would always bring in lots of young girls.
Right.
And they would sit down and, you know, you could tell they were having problems. He was helping them. They kind of had a glassy-eyed, distant look to them. And they would come in day after day after day in the mornings.
Right.
And, you know, there were lots of them, but I never saw the same one twice. It was always a new one.
Huh.
And I thought it was very interesting because the only person I ever saw him with more than once was Jeffrey Epstein. And it is weird. Can he leave Miami?
I'm not. We're gonna move on. Thank you so much, Brittany. Let me go to Allison in Florida. Hello, Allison. Allison, on line one. Yes, go ahead.
I am here. Hi, how are you?
Very good.
I was calling because you were speaking about the Electoral College.
Uh-huh.
And I've never, ever understood the argument. Well, Hillary got more of the popular vote and Trump would have lost if we had had the contest based upon the popular vote.
Yeah.
The argument to me seems so completely ridiculous because if the contest had different rules, both contestants would have played by different rules. It makes no sense to say that, you know, she got more of the popular vote. That's almost like looking at the Super Bowl and saying, well, our team didn't get as many points, but we did hold the ball longer.
Right.
It makes no sense to me whatsoever.
Right. Allison, thank you for your call. The problem is with this is you would have to play by a different game, but without the Electoral College, you are talking mainly about cities and the major population centers, and we see not a lot of those are real, real red.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.